#KCSoccerKeys, only on KC 107.7.
And welcome back. You're listening to KC Soccer Karma with me, Noshat Khan, on KC 107.7. As promised, I have an international star called Natasha Peterson on the show tonight. Welcome to KC 107.7.
Thank you for that exuberant welcome. I'm honored to be a guest of yours tonight.
Was I right when I said international superstar?
I mean, international, yes, superstar, you know, is, I don't think any of us who are our age have been brought up to embrace that adjective yet.
So I introduced...
So we work hard. We work hard and we keep grinding.
When I did the intro for the show, I said I got a globe-trotting events manager that is in the, talking to us today. So was that correct?
Wow. Wow. That's too much.
That's too much,
That's
eh?
Too much.
Natasha, it's an honor for me. I know you for me, maybe more than a decade, but it's an honor to talk to you about the work and the things that you do. And so I really am honored to have you with me tonight.
Thank you. I'm excited to have this conversation.
So let's start right at the beginning. You know, we always ask this question, where did this all start? I mean, let's look right at the early days. You decide, I'm going to do something. You most probably did a promotional thing like me. I would have done some promo thing and I like doing this. And from there, you just get involved in more events. So where did this all start for you right here in Cape Town?
Honestly, I think it started for me in the church. My family was very involved in the church, in the Methodist church in particular. And my parents were both, when they were able to, involved in setting up all those fundraising events and committee meetings and camp weekends and so on. And so I grew up being involved in that. And I always wanted to be involved and I always wanted to help. So I think then when I was old enough to be a part of the youth group, I then did that. And then when Robin and I got married, we then kind of mentored some of the youth in our church and continued that journey. So I think I've always had a very feisty personality, as you can attest to, Noshad. And I always wanted to try new things and see where I could find my niche in the world. And I think I know that I'm very lucky to be able to have had a path that has, you know, where I've been able to merge all my passions. But definitely, I think the church and that environment is what got me started in this yearning to plan and organize and arrange people and things. And I didn't quite know it at the time, but I very clearly that's where it all started for me.
That sounds interesting. Now, here you have a church event. And I come across a lot of those community type events here. Now you're here and then you go managing international events and World Cups. How does that happen?
By a path that can only be called
miracle?
Non-traditional. A little bit of both. I think a little bit of a miracle. I think a little bit of destiny, if that's what you believe in. And I think definitely a non-traditional path from what people would normally assume a path would be. You know, generally the path is you finish school, you go and study, you get your first job and off you go. I think for me it was a little bit different. I was always intrigued in trying to find my spot, you know, my path. And I couldn't quite settle down. And then I started doing some work for the church as an adult as well. And then I started interacting with more and more musicians. So my parents had lots of friends who were musicians as well, the likes of Zane Adams and so on. And I grew up in their homes. And at some point, some friends of mine then became musicians who were now playing gigs and that kind of thing. And then we would go and we would hang about. And then suddenly it was, Tash, can't you just help out with that? Tash, can't you go get the money? Tash, can't you set this up? And then I found myself managing and roading for bands. And then it was literally it grew to such a capacity where I was then doing some work with Luis Obala, Tamara Day, Danny Kay, and this was when they were all still starting out. And then from the music scene, you know, I was like, okay, this is definitely a thing. I then started working on bigger projects where I was focusing on the music aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Bigger things as in, you know, the 2010 World Cup, I was able to merge my passion for sport and music. And I was the executive producer of the Fan Fest at Cape Town on the Grand Parade. And after 2010, my focus became more on merging sport with music or music with sport. And I've been lucky that the path thus far has now, you know, since kind of 2009 onwards, has been me being able to find space on this global calendar of events. And it's been a treacherous journey. It's not been easy. Lots of sacrifices along the way. But I do think as a 51-year-old woman of color from Cape Town, I've been able to make some remarkable strides that others might not have been able to make yet.
You've done more than that, really. You've won awards. But I just, before we go to the glitzy things, I mean, working on an international stage has got challenges. You've got different language barriers. You've got different cultures. And, you know, you all get into a team and have to produce world-class things. So the pressure must be so different with all of those challenges. What would you say would be the most challenging moment in your experience so far?
So I think often people think that the language barrier is going to be the most difficult. And I think it's not that, because, you know, now we're fortunate now in this day and age that we have language apps and so on.
Okay.
That can help you get through that. But I think one of the biggest challenges is actually what your background is and what your business background is. Some people, I, for example, find it easy to walk into a room and just go, hey, I'm Tash, how are you, where are you from, that kind of thing. Hmm. Other people are not as comfortable to do that. So when you suddenly work on a project, let's say like the FIFA World Cup in Qatar, where in my direct team, I had 48 people, and I was part of a larger team that was probably close on to 500 people. And we all walked into a room, and I think out of that amount of people, I only knew two of them. I knew five from like an interview process, and the rest of them was a let's get to know each other and figure out how to work together. Mm-hmm. And so I think the one thing always when I work on these projects, if I find other SAFers, other people from South Africa, it's always incredible how our take on a project is so different from other people. And maybe it's how we are raised, maybe it's the culture, maybe it's the work ethic that actually stands us apart and makes us a little bit more agile and adept at change and at, you know, things changing all the time. So we don't constantly freak out because something has to change from today to tomorrow. And I think that is probably one of the biggest challenges to overcome. It's on a general scale, it's how do you manage yourself in an environment that is constantly adapting and evolving, and how do you connect with your colleagues so that you actually all walk towards the same goal of delivering an amazing event. And then I think just on a personal front, it's every person deals with stress differently. So it's also about how do you for yourself manage and process your stress.
You've worked at the ICC Women's T20. You've done the FIFA World Cup in Cape Town. You've done the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. You just did the FIFA Women's World Cup in 2023. How different is it when you move from one event to the other? For me, I think FIFA would have a set way of doing it, but you're moving to different destinations. Is it different?
Yeah, it's definitely different. So I did Qatar, and I was there for 9 months. Then I came home and obviously did the ICC Women's T20 World Cup for 2-3 months. And then I was in Australia and New Zealand for 4 months working on the Women's World Cup there. And then in November, December of 23, I was in Saudi, in Jeddah, working on the FIFA Club World Cup there. And yes, there are templates, there are guidelines of how generally sporting mother bodies or federations want the events to be implemented. And so it's great because you have a checklist of everything that you're meant to have in place. But of course, what that doesn't account for is, as you so rightly refer to, is the difference in every country's culture and the environment, the climate, just the willingness of the general populace to accept and receive the tournament that's coming to their home shores, and the level of excitement, you know. So all of those things factor into how you eventually go about navigating this path to deliver this exceptional event. And I think the biggest thing that people often forget is that you only get one chance to deliver this. You know, it's you don't get a do-over. You don't get a do-over for Brazil to play against Argentina or for Messi to play against Mbappe in a World Cup final. You know, you don't get to do that over. So it really is lots of checklists, lots of planning and preparation, and then also planning and preparation for the what ifs. The what if something goes wrong? What's the response? What's the standard response? What's the internal responses? And how do those changes potentially impact the fan experience for those in the stadiums and those watching at home?
Now you do all of that. You in different countries. You're doing the biggest showpieces of sport, entertainment, all at one time. You come home and you win the Telkom Woman of the Year award. How does it feel?
It still makes me feel a little bit emotional every time somebody asks me that question. I know it's weird, but it's this. If I can just share a little bit of the story behind that. So, the award I won was part of the G-Sport Award, which is an award that Kaz Naidoo started, I think it was 18 years ago now. And so Kaz actually called me on the day of the final match of the FIFA Women's World Cup in Australia. She phoned me like a few hours before the kickoff to say, listen, I just wanted to tell you this in person before this final match happens, because I know you'll appreciate getting this news today. And she said to me, you're a finalist.
Ooh.
You're a finalist, as in you are now one of the top three as adjudicated by the panel of judges and by the public vote. And it was the most surreal feeling. And I just, all I could say to her was, thank you, and I'm humbled. And then obviously there was a process of time and whatever, and then I finished that World Cup and I came home, and I think I arrived home the first week of September. I literally arrived home a few days before the award ceremony and then flew up to Joburg. And I took my daughter with me to that award ceremony because I really wanted her to see the women in the room. I wanted her to get a feeling and you know, to share that feeling with me of acknowledgement and just owning your own worth as a woman in the sports industry and in the events industry. And so it was really a magical night. Eventually when my name was called, somebody sitting next to me had to like literally shake me on the arm and say, Tash, they called your name. It's you. You have to go up. And I just looked at her and I looked at Tess and I was like, what? And they were like, you won. You have to go up. And it's been a whirlwind experience, but it's also been so self-affirming to be able to go, okay, colleagues in the industry have acknowledged me for the journey that has been thus far. And I think what I'm loving about this next phase after winning this award is that I've now been able to use this platform to be able to share words of encouragement, particularly with other young girls coming into the industry and needing to figure out how to navigate their paths.
I must say, firstly, from our side at Team KC 107.7, congratulations, you're an inspiration. And what I would like to suggest now is that the next time you're in the Bulant, that you come in studio and we do a proper sit down with my team. Is that all right?
I'd love to do that. I absolutely would love to do that.
Natasha, thank you so much for your time. We wish you everything of the best. Before we let you go, what's the next adventure?
The next adventure, which I'm not yet at liberty to disclose, actually is South African based. It's got a little bit of local flavor. So I'll be in touch with you in the next few days, Noshad.
I'm starting maybe to feel this.
Maybe that's the reason I come into studio. No.
Yeah.
No. This is a non-traditional adventure.
Okay.
This is a non-traditional adventure. So I'll be in touch in the next few days. I'm sure I'll be able to share information by then. Okay. But essentially, this next adventure kicks off in July.
Great. I look forward to seeing you here, and I'm sure we're going to do something magical together. You have a great evening.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. #KCB Soccer Only on KCB 107.7.